Good evening and welcome to this Watch Night service, when we will remember the birth of Jesus, the coming of the Saviour, and God keeping his long-held promise to live among his people. In the still and the dark, we lay down our cares and our worries before the one who cares for us, and we lift up our hearts and our praise to the one who is worthy of it all. We will start our service by singing together, On Christmas Night, All Christians Sing. Our first reading is from Isaiah chapter 9 and is a prophecy of the coming of the Messiah. Let's hear what the Lord has to say to us tonight. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Amen. We will now sing the hymn, "The Angel Gabriel from Heaven Came."
Let us pray. Lord God, you are faithful across generations, and tonight we come to you to remember all you have done for your people. In this time of Christmas, we rejoice in the coming of Jesus as the fulfillment of your promise, a sign of your great love. In the darkness of night, we seek the light that shows us our path and saves us from stumbling. In the silence of night, we listen for the still, small voice. We listen for you calling our name as a shepherd calls his sheep to fresh pasture. In this season of celebration and of giving, we remember the birth of a baby, an event transformed from the ordinary and fragile by your loving purpose for mankind into a moment that turned the world around. In the giving of your Son, we have the best reason to celebrate. In hearing again of the first Christmas, we give you thanks for the faithfulness of past generations who have shared the gospel through words and actions, through lives lived following the light of the world. And we ask you to build in us today that same faithfulness to Jesus, to allow us to be mirrors for the light of the world to our families, our communities, and our succeeding generations. Lord, we have gathered tonight from many different situations. We remember the difficult circumstances of Jesus' birth, and we acknowledge that many of us have come from comfortable homes and loving families. Lord, open our eyes to those who do not share in these blessings, and build within us families and communities to support and cherish those whose lives are fractured and uncomfortable. We remember that Jesus lived his life to bring the peace of the kingdom to heaven to us, and we acknowledge that some of us have come with burdens and unresolved conflict. We ask for the wisdom and presence of the Prince of Peace to come into these difficult situations and relationships and transform bitterness into a desire for reconciliation. We remember that Jesus died to save us from our sins, and we acknowledge that there are aspects of our lives that we are ashamed to bring into the light of your truth. Lord, when we walk in the shadows, give us the courage to repent, to turn around and follow the footsteps of our Saviour. We remember that Jesus has bought for us a home in glory, and we acknowledge that sometimes we get so caught up in the humdrum of life that we forget to rejoice. So tonight and at all times, fill us with the joy of the season, remembering that your desire to reconcile us to you led you to send your only Son to us on that first Christmas day. As we celebrate this Christmas, help us to live your promise and share your great love to honour Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. We sing again, this time the hymn, Like a Candle Flame.
Our next reading is from chapter 1 of Luke's Gospel. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. Amen. We will now watch and listen to a video.
Our third reading carries on our reading in Luke's Gospel. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is your child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Amen. And may God bless us with all these readings of his holy word.
Good evening to you all. It's lovely to see you all here, celebrating this special time of year. And there's something especially welcoming about this service. Only 2 days ago, this church shared the excitement and warmth of the children's nativity service. But here in the darkness of the night, perhaps we can see more clearly the light of the world who came down at the first Christmas. Not that the excitement of the children is unwelcome, but it fades with the years. For some, at least, the arrival of teenage years sees Christmas days no longer as a reason to get up ridiculously early, but instead an excuse for a long lie. And by the time people reach middle age, a typical response to the excesses of our Christmas celebrations is, well, it's for the kids, isn't it? But tonight's readings of the Christmas story is definitely not for the kids, although it pivots around one who could still be considered one. And we ought not to say that Christmas is for this kid, Mary. But instead, Mary is the one God chose for Christmas. I think there are 3 things about Mary that make her God's chosen one for Christmas. The first is she is humble, which is not to say she does not value herself. Some people's air of humility comes from a lack of self-worth. There is another kind of humility based on seeing the worth in others. And this is what Luke, our gospel, writes, has captured in his telling of the Christmas narrative. In her hymn of praise, Mary values the bonds of God's people, whom Mary calls the descendants of Abraham, and recognizes she is just one of many in the family of God, and that many are in need of God's help and guidance. In the Christmas story, God reaches out to people on the sidelines. He makes his miracle happen among the ordinary folk. Apart from her humility, we witness within Mary's hymn of praise, the Magnificat, her desire to see a better world, and that also marks her as God's chosen one for Christmas. Mary shares her idealism with teenagers across the generations, a trait that many adults struggle with. We are used to children saying, it's not fair. But how often has a teenager complained about some injustice only to be put in their place with a tale of conflict or interest, or perhaps the put-downs, you don't understand, or that's just the way it is. But Mary understood and shared the will for God's justice and mercy and a bias towards the poor and powerless. And so she couldn't do other than speak out against injustice and inequity. But apart from her humility and her idealism, there's one more thing about her that makes Mary God's chosen one for Christmas, and that is her willingness to work within God's plan. Despite her fears and trepidation, her response to God's call is, I am the Lord's servant. On this night, millions of people come together to celebrate the coming of the Savior of the world, and God's plan is for each of us to be intrinsically involved with Jesus and his work. He does not ask us to compare ourselves to some plaster saint. We do not see in Mary some picture of perfection, but we witness her openness to God and his purposes for her, her people, and for the world. The history of the church, the family of God, remembers people opening their hearts to Jesus and walking by his side. When they allow his love and sacrifice to bring them to repentance and forgiveness, they learn to sing their own hymn of praise. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Tonight, may that be your own hymn of praise too. We now sing the hymn, Still the Night.
Thank you.
Let us join again in prayer. Lord God, how great you are. Your hands flung stars into space, and yet you lowered yourself to a level to come among us through Jesus. In the vastness of the night sky, in the closeness of friends and family, in the cry of a newborn baby, we see your creative power and enveloping love. Lord, our Christmas celebrations are happening in a broken and hurting world, and we need the healing touch of Jesus so much today. Father God, for those who have lost their way or have fallen into destructive habits, be their counselor and lead them to the life and blessings you intend for them. Lord, be near those with poor physical or mental health and those with addictions. For those who feel powerless in the face of injustice, be their mighty God and help them to stand against wrongdoing. Lord, be near to those who live under repressive regimes. For those who feel alone, be their everlasting Father and remind them of their worth to you and their place in your family. Lord, be near to those who have suffered bereavement or loss. For those who are traumatized by war and violence, be their Prince of Peace and win for them both the absence of war and the fulfillment of a meaningful life. Lord, be near to those living in Ukraine and Syria and Israel and Palestine. God of compassion and righteousness, we long for leaders who share your care and who set aside self-interest to use their power for good. We long for those blessed with wealth to feel for the needs of the less fortunate. We long for the privilege to see the humanity in their neighbours and to recognise them as their work of your hands. Until the day we have them, please empower people like Mary to hold the actions of the selfish, the rich and the powerful to the light of your justice and mercy. Lord God, you sent Jesus as a baby, but he ascended as our risen Saviour. Help us to leave behind a childish faith that cannot see beyond the manger, and help us to be witness to our Lord Jesus, lifted down from the cross and risen from the grave. Help us to walk the way of your Son. Show us how to turn the world around, to shake our selfishness, greed, and corruption, and to make our home like a colony of heaven, fulfilled with compassion, sharing, and righteousness, for we share the work of transforming your world. We honour Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Well, the hour has come, and I would like to wish you joy, peace, and a very Merry Christmas. Please take a few moments to wish your loved ones here and your neighbours next to you a Merry Christmas. But please come back to sit down and finish the rest of our service. So Merry Christmas.
We place special significance on some things, and one such thing is beginnings. Luke's Gospel begins with the story of the birth of Jesus, but not all our Gospels do. Two of them bypass it altogether for different reasons. Mark's Gospel is more concerned with the immediacy and urgency of Jesus' words and actions. So when Jesus first appears in Mark's Gospel, it's at the start of his ministry. And in John's Gospel, John takes an entirely a different approach, and he sees God's purpose in saving mankind at starting at the very beginning of time. Luke's Gospel then follows kind of in between the two with the birth of Jesus. Luke's Gospel has another trait as well. Luke
pays special attention to the women who played a part in Jesus' ministry. And so when we look at Mary, we may be tempted to dismiss her input as being an unusual birth, and that's it. But we would be missing the point if we did that. Another thing that we give significance to is names. And the name Mary crops up several times in the Gospels. It seems to have been a common name, and indeed was a common name in Britain. At the start of the 19th century, Mary was the most popular name given to baby girls at that time. By the mid-80s, however, the name Mary had dropped out of the top 100, and in recent years, the most popular names, if you're interested, have been Olivia, Amelia, and Isla. Times change. But when we dwell on the name Mary, we can take a jump forward to the resurrection. It was Mary Magdalene that witnessed the empty tomb first, and all four Gospels remember Mary Magdalene's part. It was Mary Magdalene who brought word of the empty tomb to the disciples. The name draws a link from the beginning of the Gospel to the end. The Gospel, of course, is not the end, it's a new beginning. But it reminds us of the input of the women across all these years. So when we look at Mary's contribution, then we look carefully at her hymn of praise, the Magnificat. In it, it seems to turn the world upside down. The rich are usurped by the poor. The proud, the selfish people are replaced by the humble people who care for others. The powerful are replaced by the powerless. And it seems that the world is turned upside down. But again, if we look at it that way, I think there's one part of it where we miss the point. And that is that the world that we live in is already upside down. Who would create a world where poor people don't have enough and the rich are selfish enough to not see them? Who would create a world where the powerful people thought only of themselves and not of the people that they had power over? We live in an upside down world. Mary's vision, God's desire for us, is to turn the world not upside down, but the right way round. God asks for us to work to turn the world the right way round, because it's God's desire that the poor are cared for, that the humble play their part, that the dispossessed become the possessors. When we turn to Mary's story, we see a vision of the world that God asks us to share. Perhaps this evening, as we dwell on the Christmas message, we would wonder at what God has done. We would wonder at what God is going to do. We would wonder if maybe we're part of God's plan. We close our worship tonight in singing our last hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Thank you.
our service has come to an end, but the name of Jesus is the message of Christmas. Emmanuel, God is with us. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all this night and always. Amen.